joined on the line this morning by constitutional rights attorney Peter Baskin. He's also the author of the new book, A Toast to Silence. Peter, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
We are glad to have you with us here. The book, Avoid Becoming Another Victim of Deceptive Police Tactics by Knowing When and How to Use the Power of Silence. There's an entire book that this topic covers? How much information can there be? What are the things that you can explain to us related to how we need to act if we encounter police?
There's quite a bit to talk about because folks who get stopped by the police, and it's roughly 12 million a year, 12 million Americans, because they have this obsession with talking to authority figures, the fear of arrest, and couple that with a lot of media information from Law and Order shows, cop shows on TV. They simply don't know what to do when they're stopped by the police. They make mistakes by saying things they don't have to say and doing things that they don't have to do, like field sobriety tests. And they basically self-destruct so that by the time they get to a lawyer and get to court, they've pretty much ensured their own conviction because mainly of what comes out of their mouth.
It seems, though, when if we're stopped by the police, most of us would think, I just want to get on my way.
So that's correct. They want to do that, but everything they do to think that will get them on their way gets them just the opposite. It gets them arrested because basically an officer is there to enforce the law, and he does that by gathering evidence to prosecute somebody. And once he gets that evidence, he places you under arrest. Then he advises you of your Miranda rights, the right to remain silent, which you had prior to that moment. But many clients over the years have told me they think that their right to remain silent and not talk to the officer, except in a very limited way, they think that they won't get arrested by talking. And when they talk, they give evidence, and that evidence causes their arrest. And that's the same evidence that the police use in court to prove your guilt through the prosecuting attorney or through the officer in some places where the prosecuting attorney doesn't even go to court. But the only thing they have to do is identify themselves and step out of the car if asked to do so or directed to do so by the officer. After that, their obligation to the officer is concluded, other than to be civil about it, and that's the only way you should be cooperative. You should be civil in tone, non-belligerent. Don't challenge the officer. Don't bait the officer. Don't tell him how smart you are. Don't argue with him. Just give him the identifying information about yourself, and then his choices are he's either going to write you a ticket for the reason he stopped you, he's going to let you go, or he's going to take you into custody. But if he takes you into custody or arrests you, it's not because you gave him evidence against you. It's because he is annoyed that you didn't give him evidence.
So, Peter, what should people do if, for example, they're stopped at a checkpoint? There was one here in Lorain County this past weekend. What's the first thing a person should do when they're stopped?
They should do exactly what I just said. They usually, an officer will ask you for your identification. If it's an established checkpoint, anybody that's driving will recognize it right away and won't have to ask, why did you stop me? They'll know. And you do the same thing. You keep your hands visible, relatively motionless on top of the steering wheel so that the officer can see your hands. And then you just identify yourself. And then if he starts asking you questions like, have you had anything to drink in the last 6 hours or in the last 12 hours, you politely tell him, officer, I choose to remain silent. I'm not going to discuss that with you. And then if that annoys him, he'll probably say, step out of the car and ask you to blow into a handheld breath device, which you politely refuse to take. And if he asks you to do these field sobriety tests or exercises, the same thing. Officer, I'm not taking any tests. I'm not answering any questions. If you want me to come to court, I'll sign a summons. Otherwise, we have nothing else to discuss. Here's my license, my registration, my insurance card. We have nothing else to discuss.
So I get the feeling that from the title of your book, A Toast to Silence, you're advocating less is more when it comes to that person who has been stopped.
That's it in a nutshell. You've captured it perfectly, yes.
Does this apply to all ages? Is there a different attitude that young people, old people have?
No, everybody has the same right, the constitutional right to remain silent. And that's the first word of the first sentence of the Miranda warning. And it applies to, across the board to everybody. The right to remain silent is probably the most absolute right we have. It's even more absolute than the right of free speech. The right of free speech is limited to, for example, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but you always have the right to remain silent. And your not doing so is the main source of evidence against you. It is giving the officer the strongest evidence that there possibly can be against a person, is what comes out of their own mouth.
Have you had any discussion with police officers related to this advice or your book or any of that matter?
Oh, yes. I was on a talk show on July 30th on Sirius Public Radio, and it was a call-in show that was broadcast nationally. And simultaneously, during one part of the broadcast, we had three officers on the phone simultaneously, one from California, one from Maryland, and one from Texas. And after some reluctance on their part to admit it, they admitted that these field sobriety tests are not mandatory and that you should not talk to them other than in the limited way I've already described. You could be, just be polite, be civil, but be firm. Officer, here's my identification. I have nothing else to say. I'm not taking any tests. What would you like to do next? And he'll either pull you out of the car and put the handcuffs on you, or he'll say you're free to go. Or if he pulled you over in traffic, not at a checkpoint, he says, well, I saw you run a stop sign, or I saw you change lanes without a signal. And you say to him, okay, give me a summons, and I'll sign it, and I'll see you in court. And that's all you say. And that's the way you say it, too. Very calm and non-challenging. You don't say to the officer, I know my rights. Haven't you got anything better to do? That's not the way to deal with an officer on the street, because once you get into the system, there are neutral third parties called judges who decide things, okay? An officer who stops you thinks you're guilty, usually for a traffic infraction. He has seen the infraction. It's complete upon his observation of it. He doesn't have to investigate anything, and arguing with him on the street or debating it is not the thing to do. Debating it and then getting into a shouting match can ultimately wind up with you getting hurt by the officer, or in too many instances that we've seen recently, you can get shot. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to engage with the officer. You want to disengage, and that's the way to do it.
You also have recommendations that parents should read this book with their teenage sons and daughters. Tell me about that and what we're trying to instill for them.
Well, the way they teach civics in school, or social studies, as they call it. I don't know what they call it these days. Back when I was a kid, they called it civics or social studies. They teach them theoretical things and historic things about the Constitution and, you know, the three branches of government. And they say, yeah, there's a Bill of Rights, and it says the police can't arbitrarily search, and they can't do this and they can't do that. But they don't teach them the practical day-to-day application of their constitutional rights, and that's what my book does, because it's that day-to-day application of it that people don't understand, they don't talk about, and they're completely misled by very popular Law and Order TV shows. I remember starting when I was growing up back in the Dragnet days and then into Columbo and then, in the 80s and 90s and, just recently the Law and Order shows that are reruns and reruns, they all show that interrogation by the police is required of you and that you have to talk to them. The answer is you don't. That's what the right to silence means. It protects you from the government, and the government is represented by the police.
It's called A Toast to Silence, Avoiding Becoming Another Victim of Deceptive Police Tactics by Knowing When and How to Use the Power of Silence. If people want to find out more about this book or about the details in it, how can they go about getting some?
They can contact Amazon. They can go to Barnes & Noble and buy the book.
That's good. Well, we appreciate your time this morning, sharing some insight into this. Again, our guest today has been Peter Baskin, author of Toast to Silence. Thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
You too.